Well, good morning, Journey Church. It is really good to see all of you out there. Whether you're here in person or you're online, I'm glad you're here. If this is your very first time being here, I'm really glad that you're here. Now, before I get going, because I see so many of the kids from soccer camp in here, I just need to make sure that all of you remember what happens when I say the word joy. Okay? Watch out for that. Once upon a time, I owned a dog, and he was the best dog ever. That is him. That is Porter Scott. He is a handsome chocolate lab, and that is me without a beard. Those were the army days right there. He was really the best dog. In fact, he will be the dog that all other dogs my family owns will be compared to. He set the standard, right? He was gentle. He was playful. He was brilliant. He protected Liz and Ryan when Ryan was just a baby anytime that I was out of town. He learned all the tricks. He had all the basic ones. But Liz had even taught him how to whisper. It's such a wild thing. And he learned how to do these things. He and I even figured out how to do fetch by doing the sit, stay, fetch without using any words. Just looks. Like, we had created such a unique bond. He was fantastic. And he was especially great with the snuggles, even though he was pushing 90 pounds and he thought he was a lap dog. But as great as he was, he still had the tendency, I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit, that he made me jealous. There were times that I felt jealous. I would walk through the house and I would see him stretched out in a patch of sun coming through the window and just think, man, what a life. Sometimes I wish I had a life like that, right? A safe place to sleep and relax, food that shows up on a regular schedule, someone to teach me good behaviors, maybe the trick or two, give me treats throughout the day, and maybe even rub my belly, as long as the belly rub doesn't come with, oh, it's all squishy. Like, I don't need that. I don't. But then all that was required of that was that I just stuck around. Like, that's it. Like, for Porter to receive all of these things, he just had to not run away. There are times when, and seemingly more and more often, where life feels really, really overwhelming. And so when we look at the life of a well-loved pet, it's easy to think, well, I wish I had that kind of life. Right? Where all of our needs are met, we're completely taken care of, we couldn't come up with a single want or anything that's missing. And my friends, this morning, this is what excites me as we go into the psalm today. The psalm that King David wrote. It's an entire psalm declaring that God is the only one who's able to take care of all of our needs. That God is the only one who's able to meet all of our needs. My hope and my prayer this morning is that we're all going to either experience for the first time or be reminded of that if God is all we have, we have everything we need. Won't you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23, the same psalm that Rod read for us. I knew I was going to have a hard time with both of those words. The same psalm that Rod read for us just a few moments ago. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, but you do have a smart device, if you point that camera to one of these QR codes, click the little link, it'll take you right to the same psalm that we'll be going through. Psalm 23 just might be one of the most popular psalms out of all of the psalms in the entire book, oftentimes referenced during difficult times. And while there is a lot of comfort to be found in these verses, especially when those inevitable difficulties come up, King David also uses this psalm to talk about the overwhelming benefit to following God in our everyday relationship with Him. And so right off the bat, David describes the nature of this relationship with God in the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Being a shepherd for a large portion of his youth, it would make sense that David would use this imagery of God being our shepherd to describe the role that he plays in our lives, with us then being his sheep. David personally knows the significant role that a shepherd plays in the life and well-being of the flock that he is, or that's under his care. Because without a shepherd, a flock would scatter and wander off. They would be attacked by all sorts of predators. They would die from exposure to harsh conditions, or they would just die from starvation or dehydration. They would never be able to survive on their own. As much as they might try, they cannot and are incapable of meeting their own needs and taking care of themselves. In fact, this is a perfect example right here. This is why sheep need a shepherd. And if we could be real with ourselves, even for just a moment, how many people can relate to that video? I know I can, but I laugh because it's funny, but I also laugh because it's pretty true. When I live my life according to my own desires or the way that I think that my life should go, when I wander off to make my own path, I end up in that ditch. And as I'm in that ditch, I remember that there's a God who loves me, and so I cry out to him. And then in the richness of his mercy and grace, he pulls me out of whatever that ditch is, to which I usually respond, "Okay, thanks God, I got it from here." And then I take off, only to fall right back in another ditch. I'm reminded of the famous hymn, "Come Thou Fount," which sums this up so perfectly. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. My deepest heart desire is to trust and follow God as the one who knows what's best for my life. But instead, I often find that I'm trying to take control of my life, wandering off in my own direction, which never works out the way that I intend. And so I think that that's where David's going with the opening line to this psalm, as a reminder for why wandering off isn't as good as it seems and why a relationship with God is essential. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is the reminder we all need to be reminded of, often, every day, and even every hour. Some of us more often. Because anything you could ever need comes from God. And so if all we have is God, we have everything we need. And what's wild about David making this kind of statement right here is that he's the king of Israel. He has everything he could ever desire. He has power, status, relationships, respect, wealth, possessions, you name it. There is nothing that is not at King David's disposal. But then aren't these the very same things that we're constantly striving after? Power, status, relationships, wealth, hoping and expecting that when we finally find them, then we'll have everything we need. And yet David knows that all of these things are temporary and they can be taken away in a moment's notice. And instead recognizes that it is only because of the Lord as the shepherd in his life that he has everything he'll ever need. Because if God is all we have everything we need. Now, thankfully, David explains what this means. Verses 2 and 3, David goes on to say, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." This is it. These two verses describe everything a person could ever need, and they all come from the Lord. He gives us rest. He meets our needs. He brings us joy, and he gives us direction. I saw that. Good job, Janice. Now, as a warning, I am going to cover this morning, and I am going to barely skip off the surface. There is just not enough time. Each one of these is easily a sermon or more on their own. But as I mention each one, if you feel this pang in your gut as something that is either missing or something that you have never experienced, I want you to write on your card, one of those cards that's in the back of the seat in front of you, ask to speak with a pastor, because I would love to help you figure out what that means to not have it or how to find it, right? We'll get coffee, we'll talk. But as you feel this, if any of those pop up as we go through this, please don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. This very well might be the Lord tapping on your heart, indicating that something needs addressing. So here we go. First up, he gives us rest. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now I want us to do something together. It is a little bit of an exercise, but don't worry. It is really, really easy. I want us all to take a deep breath. Not right now. I mean, you can if you want to. We're going to get there. We're going to do it together. Together. And we're going to take a deep breath. I want you to hold it for just a couple seconds, and then we're going to breathe it all out slowly. But as you do so, I want you to picture being that well-loved pet sitting in the sun without a care in the world. Ready? We're going to breathe in together. We're going to hold it and breathe it out slowly. Here we go. Breathe in. Hold it. Breathe it out slow. Man, that feels nice. I am amazed at how often I forget to do that. Sometimes I'll get working on a project or writing a sermon or any number of things that have a deadline, and I forget to breathe. I'm amazed at how often I try to white-knuckle my way through life, convinced that I'll breathe, I'll relax, I'll rest, I'll sleep when I'm done, or when I'm dead. Rest is so vital, not only for your physical health, but also for your soul. And God, our Lord, our shepherd, knows this. He knows that this is what you need. It's why he added it into the Ten Commandments. God actually commanded us to rest. And not just because our physical bodies need it, but because it is so vital to our relationship with God. When we truly rest, we're able to slow down enough to see God, to see his creation. We see the flowers, we see the clouds in the sky, we see the mountain, we see our kids playing and laughing. We see the other people that he has brought into our lives. And in those moments of rest, we're able to remember who he is, what he has done for us, and who he has brought around us. Oftentimes, it's those things that get in our way, that keep us from rest, that we see as evidence that we've wandered away from the shepherd. Those things that we convince, I'll rest, but let me do this first. Now, that's wandering off. That's being a sheep without a shepherd. It's evidence that we're listening to the wrong voice that Tim mentioned last week. Rest gives us the opportunity to see where our priorities are, where they have shifted, and to identify the wrong voices, but then also to help move us and shift us back to following the one shepherd who will take us to rest in those green pastures. And so if God is all that we have, we'll still have rest. Next, he meets our needs. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. A shepherd wouldn't be able to take his flock to just any river rushing by. If water's moving too quickly, sheep would be afraid of it, right? They're not the smartest. And so they wouldn't drink from it. And so a shepherd would know to lead his flock to a place where water was calm, where it was cool, refreshing, and free from predators. You see, God wants to give you what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" God wants to give us what we need. But unfortunately, because we don't get the things we want, or they don't come the way that we think they should, we wander off to try to find them for ourselves. And then as we struggle to try to find them and then hold on to them, we work more, we work harder, we ignore rest, we ignore each other, we ignore God. It's kind of a vicious cycle. We end up right back in that ditch. Jesus says, in the book of Luke. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. He goes on to say, look at the ravens. They don't store up barnfuls of food, and yet God feeds them. Look at the lilies of the field. They're here today and gone tomorrow, and God still dresses them. How much more valuable are you than them? Jesus says, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. God knows what you need. He wants you to have them. You just have to trust him. Sometimes God meets those physical needs in supernatural ways. We've seen this in Scripture. A number of times God has shown up and given whoever it is in that story exactly what they need. It only could have come from God. But I am confident that now today, the primary way that God meets needs of his people is through his people. We see this in action in the book of Acts, right at the end of the second chapter, when we get that view of what that first church looked like. They devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. They fellowshipped. They worshiped together. And then they also sold what they needed to. And they used all of the proceeds to make sure that everyone had what they needed. I believe that God uses the church to be his primary source for meeting needs. If we truly are the church, if we are the church that we claim to be, there should not be one person in this room with a need. There shouldn't. If we have people here with need and we are not addressing those needs, we are not a great church. We get to be the primary source of God meeting needs. We are the tangible hands and feet of God who wants to meet our needs. When we meet the needs of those around us, we live out what it means to be the church. We say that faith is a journey that we take together. But we also need to remember that we do life together. We look out for one another. We protect and stand up for one another. Whenever we can, wherever we can. And by doing so, the Lord, our shepherd, meets needs. And so if God is all we have, then we'll still have exactly what we need. Next one, he brings joy. There it is. Look at that. Joy. Next week, whoever it is that preaches, if he says joy, just it would be fantastic. Here it is. He brings joy. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. When Liz and I moved away so that I could go to school to do what it is that I do now, we weren't able to bring Porter with us, and we had to give him away. And it broke my heart. However, one of Liz's really good friends was willing to take him, and she ended up treating him so well. He lived the best life. He made it to 16. It was incredible. Great life. Anyways, about 2 years later then, Liz's friend, she got married, and so she invited Liz to be part of the wedding party, and Porter, who was such a great dog, was the ring bearer. It was great. It was adorable. What was better was that I got to go to the wedding, and I got to see Porter. As soon as he saw me and realized who I was, he lost his mind. I mean, there was like all the butt wiggles, the jumps, the yelping. It was so great to see. We got to see each other, and it was this immediate sense of joy and excitement, and there was a restoration of both of our souls. It was so nice to see him. This is what I picture when I hear David talking about the good shepherd restoring his soul. For those that might remember, David was, known as the greatest king Israel ever had, he didn't always do the greatest things. Specifically, when he had relations with the woman he saw bathing on a nearby roof, when he got her pregnant, when he then tried to cover it up multiple times, and then when he had her husband killed. he wasn't always the greatest guy. This was one of the lowest points in David's life, but then was followed up with some serious and heartfelt confession and repentance. And you can read about that in Psalm 51. But through this process, David came to the realization that God had not forgotten about him, that God had not forsaken him. He was still welcomed and invited to be in the Lord's presence, and God was still present in his life. Knowing that the Lord was still there, joy was restored to David's soul. As the Lord, our shepherd, continues caring for us, he demonstrates his presence in our lives. And so no matter how difficult or dark or how messy we get, we are still able to experience joy because we know that God will never leave us. And so if all we have is God, we still have joy. And so then finally, he gives us direction. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord not only leads us to rest, provides the things that he knows that we need, and brings joy, but he also leads us towards righteousness. He tells us where we're headed. In the Bible, we find that having righteousness means being perfect as God is perfect in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. Anybody got that locked down yet? Anybody? I know I don't. I need a shepherd to point me in the right direction. And he does so through his word, the ultimate authority in what it looks like to pursue righteousness. Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And this path to righteousness isn't just so that we can look great, so that we can stand tall and have the world admire our greatness, but it is God that leads us to righteousness for his name's sake, to make his name great, to draw attention to his righteousness, to make him famous. When our dog Porter learned all of those tricks, it wasn't because he gave us a list of tricks that he wanted to learn. When the sheep get to where they're going, it's not because they offered good suggestions on water sources or the greenest of fields, but because the shepherd knows what's best and he led them to where he knew they needed to go. The shepherd does the work. The shepherd gets the attention. The Lord points us in the right direction for our every attitude, every behavior, every word, and in every part of our character. And then he continues to be at work in our lives, despite our being prone to wander. His righteousness is what's on display. He gets the glory and fame through our lives. I love this verse in Romans that says, "For none of us lives to himself. And none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Because he is our shepherd, he'll get us where he needs us to be. And he rightfully receives the credit. And so if God is all we have, then we will still have rest. We will have exactly what we need. We will experience joy. And we'll always know where to go. Because if God is all we have everything we need. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, I want some of that, I'd like to invite you into a relationship with Jesus. Because that's where it starts. You can't have that without Jesus. You can have things that might feel like that or might look like that for a while, but they do not last. This right here, having all of your needs met, finding rest, having joy, and having direction, that only perfectly comes from a relationship with Jesus. A number of generations after David writes this psalm, Jesus will look back on it, and he will look back on this psalm about the shepherd, and he will declare that he is, in fact, the good shepherd, who will lay down his life for his sheep with the power to pick it back up again. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, If you believe that Jesus is the good shepherd over your life, being the only one able to tell you where to go, how to be there, and you trust him with that and you follow him, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Scripture says, then you'll be saved. And Jesus said that whoever enters the gate through him will not only be saved from the destruction of their sin, but will also enter into this sheep-shepherd relationship forever. If you would like to know more about this, or you're ready to take this step, I would invite you to come find me after the service. I'm going to come stand right over here. Let's talk about it. Let me answer any questions. But if that right there feels a little too intimidating because too many eyes on you, I get that. Write on a card. Find my phone number somewhere. It's all over the place. Get a hold of me. Let's get together. Let's talk about it. But don't ignore it. This thing you're feeling now, don't ignore it. That's the Lord. He's trying to pull you into the flock. If you have already believed in Jesus, but you're also feeling those pangs, those hurts kind of in the pit of your stomach, those needs not being met, you have no rest, you're having a hard time experiencing joy, or you're struggling to find your way, might I suggest three things that could be contributing? One, you're listening to the wrong voice. Somewhere along the line, you have become convinced that you are better equipped to meet your own needs. That you know what you want and what you deserve, and you are exhaustively trying to make your own path. Might I encourage you then to spend some time in prayer this week, asking the Lord to reveal the areas of your life where you are prone to wander. And then maybe reach out to the person that you trust, a close friend who also loves Jesus, and ask them, when you look at my life, where am I prone to wander away from the Lord as the good shepherd? Is that going to be difficult and scary and require vulnerability? Yes. But will it be the thing to point you back in the right direction? Also yes. And then once you know that, confess it. Confess to the Lord that you have wandered and be as specific as you can. But then ask him to hear you, ask him to help you hear only his voice. To bind your wandering heart to him. This is repentance. And if you need help with this, I would also like to help you with that. Write it on one of those cards. Come find me afterwards. This is important things. These are crucial to having a relationship with God and experiencing all of the things that the shepherd is wanting to give you. But if you're holding on to your own stuff, unwilling or not willing to let it go, if you're trying to forge your own path, you're not going to get there. It's only through Jesus. Two, pick up your Bible. I mean, not right now. It's not. You're just picking this up doesn't do anything, right? This is just a wait. This doesn't belong in your car or on the edge of the counter, wherever it is that you put it after church last week. This is your guide. This is your map. This book right here is perfect for knowing who God is and how to have a relationship with him. And if you don't know what's in these pages, you're not going to know who God is. Someone's going to say, hey, trust in the Lord as your shepherd. And you're going to think, why? I don't know who that guy is, because you've never looked at this. This right here will tell you who God is. It will tell you all about his character, all about his priorities. One of the things that was great about a couple weeks ago when we did read the Bible in a week, we made it all the way through the Old Testament in 1 week, and it was great. But I received a special benefit that most of you didn't. I sat in the hall that whole time, and I got to hear giant chunks of Scripture. And one of the things that popped out from hearing so much Scripture at one time is how much God wants to meet our needs. He wants to give us things if we would just trust him. But if you don't know who he is because you've not spent any time in here, you're going to have a hard time trusting God. And you're going to wonder why you're having a hard time, why your needs aren't being met, why you're not finding rest or joy. Spend time in your word. And then three, join the community. Coming to church on Sunday morning is fantastic. I'm so glad all of you are here. there is so much more to being a part of a church community than just coming to church on Sunday. I invite you to come be part of the church. Men, come to men's events. Women, come to women's events. Go sign up for the painting party on Saturday. Youth, go to youth group. I know the youth pastor. Fantastic guy. He was my youth pastor. Don't tell him that. He remembers. He remembers. Plan to be a part of the church. In the fall, we're starting a new program on Sunday evenings that will take the place of small groups that will then help us kind of reshape what small groups are and lead us into a new small group season. Plan to be a part of that. As I said earlier, we should be a church that lets no need go unmet. But that's really hard to do if we don't know you. If we're not together, if we're not doing life together. We might have exactly what you need. In fact, I am confident that the way that God has put together our church, He has equipped some of you with the things that somebody else needs. Some of us have been gifted with finances and different resources and friendliness and economics or budget planning. Kevin in the back there, my mom, Gina, she's not here right now. Those are the things that we need. But if we don't know who you are, it's hard to know that. But not only do we might have the thing that you need, there is a really good chance that God has gifted you with the thing that we need. That's the way the church works. We do this together. And so please come join the community. And then finally, if you're reading this psalm or you hear this psalm be read and you are already filled to the brim, you are confident that the Lord is your shepherd and you can say boldly, I shall not want. Praise God. Continue trusting Him. Continue following the Lord the way that you have been. But might I encourage you to take a look around. Look for those brothers and sisters who are prone to wander. Look for needs that need to be met. Look for those who are struggling to find joy. And then lovingly, encouragingly, with grace and mercy, invite them back into the flock. My friends, God has given us everything we could ever need, and it's Him. All we need to do is trust Him and follow His leading. Because if God is all we have everything that we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that you are with us. That even though we are prone to wander around like a bunch of sheep, your love and your mercy and your grace is for us to be near. To be near you. Where you can give us those things that we need, where you can provide rest, where you can restore our souls, and where you can lead us in the way that you know we need to go, because you are the good shepherd, because you love us. Help us, God, to walk confidently in following you this week. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to avoid the traps of wanting to follow where the world wants us to go. God, may we stand and declare that you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you for sending your Son who made all of this possible, that through faith and trust in Him, we can actually know you as our shepherd. And we pray all of these things in His name.